I had 15 hours to prepare for the sermon. This week I have a day and 15 hours to prepare for the sermon. But you know the scuttlebutt about Pastor Neil. I said it last Sunday, and I'll say it again. He always has a sermon in his back pocket. And yes, I put the sermon in my back pocket. Now, one of my friends, former friend, why don't you do it differently? Well, I explain that if I put it on, my goodness, I left my iPhone at the, that's good. I didn't even have to turn it off. I was going to show you my iPhone. Okay, I can't put it on there because I can't even see it. And then I can't put it on my iPad, iPad because I gave it away. So now I've got a hard copy, okay? So the sermon's in my back pocket. There it is. Wow, that's what I'm going to do today? Okay, whatever. But before I do this, I need a volunteer. I want a man to come forward and stand here, and somebody who... No, but I haven't finished talking. What I was going to see, I looked at the clock. What I was going to say was somebody that they doesn't like want to lie. Would you please stand there? Okay, thank you very much. Now, gosh, I'm sorry I'm behind because I enjoyed that cup of coffee. Would all of you just bow your heads for a moment? Yeah, and just pray for our service. Okay, dear Jesus, we thank you for your presence. Okay, so now we're back in. We never even left. Oh my gosh. Okay, we have an object. Okay. Okay. Now, to proceed, I would need a rope. Does anybody have a rope? You couldn't have a rope. But if anybody has a rope, would you bring it for me? Anybody has a rope? Okay, forget the rope. Oh, you have a rope. Oh, you always carry a rope with you? All right. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. So we got a rope. What are you doing?
Getting ready.
How do you know what I'm going to do? Okay. Now I need another man to come, if you would please come. And yes, I want my subject to hold his hands out, and I want another man to come, and I want you to tie him up. Tie him up. Come on. Some guy, anybody. We're not being televised, so just anybody. Well, we may be. We've got God's televising it. Tie this guy up. Would you tie him up? Oh, my gosh. My goodness. I think you should. Yes, it is tied. You can't get. Come on, you're a buffed up guy. Come on, you can't do it, can you? Okay, well, do what you want to do anyway. Now I'm going to talk to myself. Can you get untied? Not really. Okay. Well, see, that's what the sermon's all about. What to do, say it. What to do when your hands are tied. So what are you going to do when your hands are tied? Yes, would you go to the back of the church, please? Thank you. You get a gold star for this one. Somebody untie his hands. Oh, my gosh. Okay, let me ask you this question. Is there anybody here who have really literally had their hands tied? Just lift your hand and put it back down. You've literally been tied up. Okay. I have two experiences. First is this. I was a teenager, and my friend across the street and I were playing cops and robbers, and I was going to be tied up. So he tied me up to the bed, and after he got tied up, I was so scared. I wanted out, but I couldn't get out. My hands were tied, and that experience really made an impression upon me at that time. The other time in my life when my hands had been tied, but this is with a strap, and here's how it came about. Nanny and I had a motorhome. It needed attention, so we lived it in King City at the time. I drove the motorhome to Salinas. I drove up to the place where the repair was going to be made. And so if you can get the picture, there were several bins where you would drive in the motorhome. I drove in but turned around and faced the street. So if you get the picture, we have the street, we have the sidewalk, we have the motorhome, and we have the bins, in which there was one man. Okay. So I tried to unbuckle the seatbelt, and I couldn't. And I tried more, and I tell you, the harder I tried, and then I tried more, and then, come on, Neil, get out of here. And I was tied up, but with a strap. So I see the guy in my rearview mirror. He's looking. I blew my horn, and I waved. He waves back. That doesn't work. I'm tied up. What am I going to do with my hands are tied? And so the guy walks by on the sidewalk in front of me. I said, hi. And he says, hi to you. And boom, he just keeps on going down the road. Finally, the Good Samaritan came and said, long story short, he had an instrument in his pocket that helped me get out. But those experiences led me to this sermon, what to do when your hands are tied, because there are times when circumstances come our way. Now, the advertisement of Tylenol is take comfort in our strength. But I would like to change that to this, to take comfort in the cross brand of his strength. Now, his strength, of course, his hands were tied too on the cross. The word strength comes from a word meaning twisted together. I like that because if I'm going to have the strength or the stability of what Jesus can give me, I've got my strand has got to be twisted in the strand of Jesus. So strength comes from being twisted together. And so as we are twisted together with Jesus, we're going to find ourselves able to handle the situation when our hands are tied. And I want to suggest four ways whereby some of you have and even now found yourself with your hands tied. Not going to talk about, for example, what ties our hand, because that is S-I-N, and that spells what? Very good. Some of you are still awake. Sin. We're not going to talk about that. What we want to talk about is situations that come our way where our hands are tied, and what are we going to do about it? Four areas. The first area is this. What to do when your hands are tied by discouragement. None of you have ever been discouraged. Okay. But there may, well, I don't know. I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, but I do believe that probably there are maybe two people here right now who are facing discouragement. Maybe three. So what I say is this, what to do when your hands are tied. And so let's go to the scripture and see what the Bible says about some guys who had their hands tied. As we go to Acts 16, when Paul is in prison, his hands were tied. He was there. He was shackled. And what could he do? And the scripture says, and this is the answer to the question, what to do when your hands are tied by discouragement? Talk about guys being discouraged. It says here that they, P-R-A-I-S-E-D, they praise. And that's the answer. What to do when you're discouraged? It's to praise. Praising is easy. No. Praising is not easy. It takes determination to praise God, but that's what I'm learning to do. I'm learning to praise Him more. Do you know King David, seven times a day, the Bible says, took time to praise Jesus. I call it romancing Jesus, which I try to do. And I try to do. I try to date Jesus seven times a day so I can just say, you know, well, that's another sermon. I love you. I love you, Lord Jesus. Well, what these guys did in prison was to praise. Psalm 42:8 says, at night his song is with me. Psalm 119 says, at midnight I raise my hands and I give you thanks. So the sacrifice of praise is what we call the fruit of our lips, right? Now, all of you are trees of righteousness. Oh, look at the trees. Look at all the trees. Would you move your branches? Yeah, that's beautiful. But if one of you start flying up, that's going to be fantastic. Okay, the Bible says that the trees of the fields clap their hands. Okay, and they do this. So if we are trees of the field, then the other step is that to bear fruit with our lips. And so with our lips in the tree of a life which we are living, then we are going to praise God. It is the fruit of our lips. So I don't believe you can be in discouragement and praising God at the same time. I have a one-track mind. You may have one too. It's hard to really be in the dumps and at the same time praising God, because when you praise God, it sort of lifts you out of the dumps. So here's the first point. We'll come and go. In-N-Out Burger. I'm sorry. In-N-Out here is simply this. When you're in a situation, when your hands are tied, like my subject was, he got his hands untied, right? He got his hands untied by help coming. Where does the help come from? Yes. So when your hands are tied by discouragement, the answer is to praise. Praise, praise. And it's easier to say it than it is to do it. But I have learned from personal experiences that when I am in days of discouragement, that has the winds have blown against me, I need to just stop and say, hey, that's enough. Stomp you Satan under my foot. I am going to praise the Lord. I don't feel like it. I actually don't even want to do it, but I'm going to do it. And when you start doing it, there's something about your tree. It bears fruit. And the fruit is through praise when you're discouraged. Okay, my subject has hands tied. And the second is this. What to do when your hands are tied, when lies are levied against you? Don't raise your hand. But is anybody here who has ever had somebody lie against you? Don't raise your hand. Well, you did anyway. Okay. Okay. Another one hand went up. Yes, for some reason, we are subjects to have people lie against. I have people lie against me, and I don't want to go into a lot of details, but on the front page of the newspaper of my hometown, I mean in King City, where I was for 29 years, pastor in the community church there, on the front page they said things about me that were not true. And recently somebody has said something about me that wasn't true. So, you know, I'm no stranger to the attacks of the enemy through friends as well as enemies. So when you have people leveling lies against you, let me give you two examples in the Word of God. Joseph, you know the story. But let me paraphrase it in 84 words, okay? Here's what happens. He's in the house with Potiphar's wife. She's a beautiful lady, and she tries to seduce him, and he doesn't follow through. You well know the story. And so he tries to get away, and she strips off some of his robe. And then, you know, as well, the Bible says that lies were levied against him. And as a result of that, he was put in prison, and his hands were tied. Lies were levied against him. But in that prison, he did something that we are supposed to do, and that is to trust. So when your hands are tied, like that guy's hands were tied, when you're tied hands by lies levied against you, the answer is just to trust Jesus during that time. Then there's this guy named Jeremiah. Jeremiah 37, 14 and 15. The scripture says, as they lied against him, he said, that's not true. That's not true, Jeremiah said. I'm not deserting to the Babylonians. But they wouldn't listen to him. They had him beaten. They had him put in prison. And there he was with his hands tied, because there had been lies levied against him. So what did he learn to do? I told you earlier, trust. Some of your coins have that written on it, doesn't it? Trust. And sometimes we sing that old beautiful song. I love the hymns. Trust and obey for what? Say that again. In other words, there's no other way. Okay, so if my hands are tied, when lies are levied against me, that I'm going to trust him. And I know experiences that I've had in churches in the past, as well as most recently with a friend, I've got to trust the Lord when my hands are tied. Okay, number three. What do you do when your hands are tied by trouble? None of you have troubles. Well, sometimes I do. So here's the point. What do you do when you have troubles? You take John the Baptist, for example, Luke 3:19. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things that he had done, Herod acted this to them all. He locked him up in prison. I would say he was in a lot of trouble. So he gets locked up in prison because of the trouble that he caused. But here is what I have learned, dear people. God uses trouble. I say God uses trouble, and he uses this trouble to draw himself closer to us. And so when you're in trouble, take it as a means whereby you can actually be drawn closer to dear Jesus. And sometimes he allows trouble to come. Sometimes he eliminates it. He prevents it. But sometimes he allows it because he knows what is best. But when troubles come, problems come, and there may be some of you who are in trouble right now for one way or another. And if Bill knew about it, he could say, "Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but who?" Yes. Praise God. So when your hands are tied by troubles, what you have to do, you have to claim the peace. You have to claim the peace. So somebody says, "Well, Pastor Neil, what do you mean by trouble?" Oh, may I chase one rabbit? Okay. In my first church, I'm 19 years old, just a little kid, and always gave an invitation. And one day, it had been raining. It was an evening service. And just at the very end, the door opened and closed, and a lady came in. And so what I said was, "Dear people, if you don't accept Jesus, there's trouble ahead." And we're talking about trouble. What to do with trouble? And so I said again, "There's trouble ahead." And people started laughing and snickering. "There's trouble ahead." And so this dog comes trotting down the down the aisle, and his name was
Trouble.
His name was Trouble. Okay. Trouble, misfortune, distress, annoyances, being disturbed. And let me tell you a personal happening, if I can kind of condense it quickly. In the 1990s, a house came up for sale on Tahiti in North Morro Bay. And for some reason or another, we were allowed to buy it temporarily so that in the meantime we could split the property because of the lot next door to it. By selling the property next door to it, then we were able to pay for the house. So we had the house and we had it rented out. But a flood came, El Nino. The thing I like about El Nino is that he puts sea glass up in the gravel, and Nanny and I just like, but the waves, they projected 22 feet for yesterday. Anyway, point being, at the Satiti house, the floods came, and in front of the house there was a berm, that little raised area right before the property in the street, and it wasn't high enough. And due to a cloggage in the big drain up Tahiti, it was clogged. Then the water came down, and it came down ferociously, and it crossed over the berm. It went in the front door, and it went out the... Yes, you were there. Huh? Oh, it did. It did. So what are we going to do? So these people that were in the house were upset. Obviously, I was upset. So we put them up in a motel for a few days, which they did not like because they couldn't eat at the Salvation Army food trailer because they had to go through muddy water. And so they had to call me. These people called me so many times. I kept record of it. To make a really long story short, they sued me. They brought me to court because whatever. I was in trouble. You'd have to believe that. And what could I do when I was in trouble? The only thing I'd do was to claim the peace of God. So that's the answer. When your hand, what to do when your hands are tied by trouble is to claim the peace of God. One more little P.S. about that. This lady took her three sons from Morro Bay. They drove to King City, and they picketed my church. Unfair pastor. So what do you do about that? Talk about troubles. Nobody knows. Well, I did. Oh, I did. So some of my people who had the mind of Christ, the other lady, she was this way, invited her into the church. And she came in with her kids, and we even got to pray for one of the children. But I still had to go to court. And so I went to court. She didn't show up. That upset me because now I got more troubles. So I'm told by those who know, well, Mr. Carlson, this can go on for another year. And next year, you will have to come back. Oh, my gosh, another year to go by. Anyway, long story short, I was blessed by somebody in D.C., because I made phone calls really early in the morning for the four-hour time zone. And this man said, and I forgot his title, he was going to come out, he was going to investigate the situation, and I'm expecting some guy in a limousine with a three-piece suit. He came out with cowboy boots on and a deep Wrangler. He had to observe what happened at the house. I've got video of the house, of the rushing of the water through. He was in the house less than 45 seconds, and he said, Mr. Carlson, don't worry. It's okay. Insurance will take care of it. Well, that was cool with the insurance, but what about this lady? What did Nancy and I do? We claimed the peace of God, because only the peace of God, even with our love that we have, only the peace of God can put together the pieces, because the love that we have, you know, is patient. Love is kind, and it's always there rejoicing when you are in places where your hands are tied with troubles, okay? So what to do when your hands are tied by troubles? You are just to claim the peace. The fourth is this, people. What to do when your hands are tied by sickness and pain? We've all been there and done that. 2 Corinthians 12:9, but he, Jesus, said to me, I love this scripture, people, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. So what to do when your hands are tied by sickness and pain? Draw closer to God. That's the answer. Draw closer to God. Father filtered. In my notes I put down, a great phrase when we are in sickness and in pain. And this is close to home in days past when Nanny and I were in situations with daily episodes, insane in depth and in duration with her Parkinson's situation. What we had to do was, and the answer is to draw closer to God. And you know something? I can't draw closer to God for you, nor you for you, or you for them. It's sort of personal. And that's why we have a personal relationship with Jesus. He's there. And so when you are in the situation of sickness and pain, the answer is to draw closer to God. And build another song, Nearer My Heart, Nearer My God to Thee. That's right. So I misspelled it here. Okay. All right. Near to the heart of God. So pain is not good in itself. Oh. But what is good in any painful experiences is for the sufferer in the submission to the present will of God and for others involved, we'll call them spectators, is just to be surrounded with that, you know, that we're going to be drawn closer to God. And so I told a dear lady at Casa not too long ago, at Bayside not too long ago, who was having so much sickness. I said, "Dear honey, this that you're going through can either draw you closer to God or otherwise. In other words, it makes you bitter or better. So when I am suffering with pain, which praise God, I do not have my neck problem anymore or my knee problem, but so minor compared to your dear pastor and some that you have gone through too, the answer is just to draw near to God, nearer to Him, and He just loves that. So there's the key when you're tied up. Expect the deliverance. You can be rescued from your mindset by that feeling of being trapped and your hands are tied and you can't move your body. But you know what you can move? This guy could not move his hands, but he could move this, the mind. Because is it not the mind that is the battlefield? The battlefield is in the mind, right? So we can have a mindset. Because the scripture says, as a man or a woman thinketh, so is he. So expect that miracle, dear people, in these various situations that you're going through. Whatever they are, where you think is helpless and hopeless, we know the feeling. I've been there and done that. Worship, pray, rebuke, use your spiritual warfare, call people for prayer support. And when you do all of this, what else is it to do? Stand. S-T-A-N-D. Stand. So, what to do when your hands are tied? When you're discouraged? My answer is to praise. What to do when your hands are tied, when lies are levied against you? My answer is to trust. What to do when your hands are tied by troubles? It is to claim the peace of God. What to do when your hands are tied by sickness? Draw closer to God. Put all these situations on the altar. Bill again, all to Jesus. Makes my hands tied. I turn over to you. Look to the Lord and His strength, dear people. Seek His face always. That's what I read in 1 Chronicles 16:11. I will repeat. You can repeat after me. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we can't conclude the service without asking the question, is everybody listening to the sound of my voice now or later on a CD, a person with a ticket to heaven? And if you are this morning for some reason and you do not know Jesus intimately or personally, in other words, you have never accepted Him, this is my suggested prayer that right now you can pray in your mind where you're seated right here at the Morro Bay Assembly of God Church. It would be like this. In your mind, you can say, "Dear Jesus, this is," and He obviously knows, "I know I can't save myself. I know that You died for me on a cruel cross for my salvation. And I, at this very moment, accept what You did. And I believe what You did. And I will confess in my mouth that I have accepted Jesus as my personal Savior." Let's all stand. But then for us right now, I just pray this prayer. Lord, for these dear people, I pray Your blessings upon them. The Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and give you peace and give you a blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen.